Christ. Amen. Well, it's good to have Brother Stewart back with us tonight. As I said this morning, evangelist out of the Victory Baptist Church in Weatherford, was the associate pastor there for 20 years or so. Now the president also of Norris Baptist Bible Seminary. My friend, enjoyed this morning preaching. Come on, Brother Stewart, preach for us.
Man, thank you. Wow, wasn't that song on target? Appreciate all the emphasis on the music. Everything fits, but those especially fit, that emphasis of that song, and so true. You should have a second handout. It's the same color. I didn't have any color at 11 by 17. All I had was white. So I put down here at the bottom, study guide 2, Sunday p.m. Does everybody have a study guide? Anybody need one? Need one right here? That's it? One? Two? All right. Oh, you got it? All right. Also, I got some $100 bills. How are we doing? Anybody need a $100 bill? Somebody over here need one? Yeah. What? Okay. Over here? Okay. All right, brother. Right there in the middle. Tomorrow's will be the same color. Okay. A lot of times have charts sitting back there. If you didn't get this morning's, they're back there. But you'll have to look at that bottom corner to find out where we are. All right? Go ahead and turn to Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1. On the inside are some introductory points. I'll kind of touch on some of that as we go through Job chapter 1 through 2 and some of 3. And so that's just for you to look back on and get more information. Also is a chart. This is a typical chart that we pass out in Bible survey out at the school. And it lays out the book of Job. And it kind of shows you the prologue, the dialogue, the monologue, the catalog, the epilogue, and so forth. And that just kind of gives you the big picture. But you can go ahead and flip over to the back of the handout. We always want you to have more than what we give. We want you to go home and study. The purpose, again, is to reinforce why you are in a church like this. Number two, to get some major teaching across, which we're trying to do tonight and the rest of this week, but also is to get you excited afresh about the Bible. Amen. We're saying the same thing you've been hearing here and there, but it's just a different voice. When you have a Kansas accent, it just comes across different. He was talking about Tootsie Rolls. Amen. I have the same game with the word roof. You may want to say roof like a dog. Roof. Okay, I say roof. I say tree root. You probably say roots, right? So it's the same thing, brother. Yeah. So anyway, I speak Kentex now. I say you guys and you all in the same sentence. But anyway, Job chapter 1, it sure is good to have Brother Crawford here tonight, senior. I was talking about him this morning. I never dreamed he was going to be somewhat in the area. Then I talked to him on the phone a little bit, and then here he is tonight. That's God's good, isn't he? Amen? When I was starting the church in Arlington for years, him and I spent a lot of time together. It was 27 years ago this fall when I got to know you. He came and visited in class, and when a pastor comes and visits in class, you know, you just be yourself. Let the chips fall where they lie. And Danny was coming to school that semester. Brother Crawford and Eric came the next year. But we became good friends right off the bat because him and I have something in common. We love God. We love the Bible. We're Baptist, etc. And boy, what a blessing they have been through the years. And so it sure is good to see him tonight. Job chapter 1. Look at the very top of that page before we pray. I'm not even going to take time to read that either. We have a birthday to celebrate tonight. And I definitely want him to turn 44. It would be a terrible thing to drag this out and him not to get to turn 44. Yeah. Could you imagine him going through another year at 43? Oh, it'll be 44 again. But anyway, a lot of people look at the language and the dialogue and the quality of the speeches and they think, well, is this really how it happened? I mean, was it this orderly? Was it this precise as we're seeing here and so forth? And I believe the answer is indeed yes. We sell these ancients short. Somebody described our recent times as we have a very shallow knowledge about a lot of things. They had a very deep knowledge about a few things. And oratory is not something that's new with us. The Greeks were big on oratory, sophistry, and so forth. If you go back and study, even reference in Jeremiah, it's in your notes, that Edom was known for having wise men, the wisdom of the man in Edom. And so it fits very well that these men would be polished. These are intelligent, educated men. Job was no dud in those areas. And so this is, as we can tell, you can format it, but this is basically what happened. And it shows you how far we've come with all of our slang. So just so you can have that, you can read that, and there's a lot more information on that. Also, I wanted to tell you this, too. I think one of the best books written on Job that's very readable is one by Henry Morris, The Remarkable Record of Job. It may be in your bookstore, The Remarkable Record of Job. It used to only be in hardback. It's paperback. It's excellent because he's a creation scientist, and so he brings a lot of things into it that you don't get from the normal person. He was an independent Baptist. And he'll play with the language a little bit, the translation some, but he was overall a King James man, just not quite as where we might be, but he's a great man. Thank God for Henry Morris. He's in heaven now. And the ICR is a tremendous ministry. They were based in California. They're over here in Dallas now. They're building a museum also. The Bible says that when the enemy comes in like a flood, that God said, I'll raise up a standard. And these creation scientists, these great men of God here, are not even technically preachers. It's amazing when scientists who believe the Bible, and we've got those in several groups now, obviously Dr. Ball, but Dr. Ball is a preacher. He's a preacher and a scientist. But you got Ken Ham and his group up in Kentucky, you got ICR. Most of those people are not preachers, and yet many times they take a stronger stand than what preachers take on the biblical account of creation. I tell the students all the time, we use a lot of the materials, I said there's something when a scientist who's not even technically a preacher takes a stronger stand than some preachers. And it's very clear to me, it's very obvious from Genesis to Revelation that the Genesis account is exactly how it happened. It's not just in Genesis, it's all through the Bible. It's all through Job. Job makes mention of the flood. If we have time, we'll look at that also later on. Not tonight, but later on. So, look at the book of Job. The only thing I don't agree with Henry Morris on primarily, we'll talk about this later. I think Elihu, the fourth guy, was a little bit more on track. Dr. Morris thinks he was kind of a, maybe this is oversimplifying, but somewhat of an upstart smart aleck. But I don't think that's exactly right. But again, he may be right and I may be wrong. Okay. But anyway, just let you know it's a great book. And if they don't have it, I know Brother Crawford would agree with me on that book. And we use it as a textbook out at the seminary and so forth. All right. So look at verses 1 through 5. I want to remind you before we pray that Job was a prepared vessel. On the surface, it might seem cruel that God would say to Satan, have you considered Roy Reed? Got his attention. You're a blessing, brother. Amen. Have you considered Roy Reed? Okay? And on he goes about Job, etc. And you look at that and go, wow. And we look at that and we go a lot of different ways to, quote unquote, defend God. In a sense, God doesn't need to be defended, but sometimes he has to be explained to people that don't understand. Okay? And what they think about is right on target, and we'll be developing that more and more. We just don't realize what we have in Christ. I'm telling you, we just don't realize. And God's got to soak that in us. God's got to push that in us. God's got to bring that. It's got to become part of our frame of reference. And by the way, you never arrive. Okay? You never arrive. When you stop studying, when you stop learning, when you stop going forward to your Bible, you're going to go back. It's a lifelong search. What I want you to think about is Job was ready for this. When Job responded the way he responded, God didn't go, well, I guess I chose the right guy. That's pretty good. No, God knew he would do that. Amen? Not just because God has foreknowledge, okay, but God had been building a man. When I read that, years ago I'd read Job 1 and 2 and I think, this is the most amazing man in the East and he's this and he's that and whatever. I thought, wow, this is something. But I'm reading it on the surface. I haven't had enough time for the Holy Spirit to teach me the book. Amen? I was just shared something a few minutes ago by my good friend over here I hadn't even thought about. And I've spent a lot of time in Job. I don't get to preach on Job very often in conferences. Most people are scared to death. 42 chapters. Let Brother Stewart go on 42 chapters. We'll never go home. I don't get a chance. But boy, I said to Brother Crawford, what do you think about this one? A little trial balloon. He said, well, yeah, let's do that one. But anyway, Job is prepared for what we're going to see. God is explaining this. When you read these first two chapters, realize this man has been prepared for this. All right? So don't think that God's kind of being cruel here and God can do what he wants to do. By the way, God can do what he wants to do. But God has revealed his nature to us. God has revealed his characteristics to us. We call them attributes. And when you take a gracious, loving, merciful God, you have to factor that into this. And by the way, every one of us tonight would not even still be in the game. We would still not be in Christian service had God not brought us along.
Amen.
Folks, we're weak. It doesn't take much to knock us off our footing. And I want to say this also as we get into this. I don't stand up here and preach, listen, I know what I'm talking about, and I'll tell you what, if I was in Job's place, I would have been the same way. And let me tell you, thank God I don't have to preach to Jonathan Stewart. Man, I study and I read and I pray and I listen and I think, man, God, you know, it's by your grace and so forth. But I do my best to preach the Word of God. If I was Balaam's donkey up here braying and I was preaching this, it would be worth your time to hear it. Amen? So the emphasis is on the truthfulness of the Word of God, not even on the messenger. All right? So that prepared vessel, the first five verses, let's pray. Father, help us again, to make good use of time. Thank you for this church. God, if I said the things I really like to say to several people in this church and this church collectively, people would doubt my sincerity. And Lord, I can't express how significant this church is to me, and far beyond that, how significant this church has been from day one. And God, go far beyond what I can do. I pray there be that divine echo, the Holy Spirit's ministry. Build this people up. And God, I'm grateful from what's been accomplished since I was here last year. I know their greatest days are right ahead, just ahead. And I pray that this church will be faithful to the sounding of the trumpet for the rapture. May this be one of the churches that stay by the stuff. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. First five verses. There was a man in the land of Uz. If you read the handout I gave you this morning, there's plenty of evidence. There was a real place called Uz. There's additional notes related to that also in your inside there. Whose name was Job. I've heard stories about guys talking about when they first got saved and they started reading their Bible, they read about Job and the book of Psalms and everything else. Job. And that man was perfect. That does not mean he's without sin. That means he is proper. He is in the right perspective. If you look up the actual word perfect and what it means, think about perimeter. Think about all around. Think about complete. This man was what God basically wanted a man to be going forward. By the way, he was perfect in Christ. Now, the Old Testament standing was a little different. They went forward on credit. They went forward on credit. God dealt with them in view of the coming cross, and they lived on what we call credit. It's amazing, and it seems to be very clearly taught that when Christ resurrected, there was something that happened to the Old Testament saints. Whatever Abraham's bosom was, whatever that status was, and there are several views, and I don't want to get into that right now and so forth, but they definitely were put into a position before God they did not have until Christ resurrected. I'm going to show you how that applies. When the Bible says there's rejoicing in heaven before the presence of the angels when a sinner gets saved, if you understand the Old Testament in a certain way, there's no saints up there yet. And that rejoicing doesn't necessarily seem to be the angels. It says there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels. Well, who's there? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But Job had a standing. Well, by the way, you and I are not on credit. We're on capital. We have money in the bank. Amen? I told you this morning, you got billions in the bank. Are you writing checks on it? No kidding. It's not a silly analogy. We've been redeemed, not with silver and gold. Okay, precious stones and this and that, whatever. We've been redeemed by the currency that God accepts, the precious blood of Christ. Amen. Blood is the very essence of life. If you're going to say, if you're going to illustrate life, if you're going to bring life into view, blood more than anything else makes everything in your body work. It is so amazing. It is so significant. They can do hundreds of tests today on your blood. Your blood tells them everything they need to know, and they're still finding out what the blood can tell them. I mean, the blood's an amazing thing. It's considered a liquid organ. The blood is just amazing. And besides that, the blood of Jesus Christ was both human and divine, Acts 20:28. God's a spirit. He didn't have blood. But because he was the God-man, because of the union of the two natures, human and divine, the Bible refers to that blood as divine. So his blood was human and divine. And his blood was our blood, but yet without flaw, genetic flaw, etc. On and on we could go. So we are living on the imputed righteousness of Christ. I was overdrawn in sin, and God just didn't bring me to a zero balance. He put money in the bank. I'm going to heaven because I have the righteousness of Jesus Christ behind my name. I'm not going to hell because my sins have been paid for. Amen? And there were born unto him, oh, by the way, excuse me, and upright, and one that feared God. Now watch this next statement. And he eschewed evil. People say, eschewed evil? What's that mean? It's got your attention, doesn't it? Sometimes people say, well, you know, the King James Bible, it's got some of these words in it. I like words that are different. I'm glad I have more than a 30-word vocabulary. I tell the students all the time, and you got a word that, you know, somebody says, that's archaic. It's not archaic. You'd be surprised how many words are really, truly, technically, quote-unquote, archaic. And by the way, look up the word archaic. It doesn't mean useless. Doesn't mean you can't use it. Doesn't mean it's not cool. It just means it's not in common usage. You'd be amazed at what writers use in their vocabulary. They do use the word eschewed. You learn to use different words for the same thing. We talk about something being hot. Let's say somebody's got a hot car. That can mean that it's stolen. That could mean the air conditioner's not working. That could mean that it's overheating. That could mean it's a really sharp-looking car. Amen? Words have a field of meaning. Thank God for vocabulary. You get people's attention by having words they don't every day see. Eschewed means he pushed it away. He stayed away from it. When he saw it coming, he didn't want it around. He eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep. Wow, not bad, okay. 3,000 camels. I haven't got time to tell jokes. I've got to be funny a different way. And 500 yoke of oxen. I know it wasn't funny. And 500 she-asses. And a very great household. So this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. By the way, rich people can be godly. And poor people can be ungodly. Poor people can be godly. And rich people can be ungodly. Verse 4. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one of his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. We see Job as probably being a contemporary with Jacob, that patriarchal period, Isaac, Jacob, that period. And we see that he is observing the worship system of that time, even though he's not technically a Jew. But the way God has revealed himself, there's no temple, there's no tabernacle yet, so this is acceptable. And it's one of the reasons we think that he belongs to that time period. The names Eliphaz and Bildad and Zophar, their relatives, their names occur in Genesis in those particular sections of the Bible. So we think he's in the patriarchal period. He's the high priest of his family. And by the way, that really hasn't changed technically. The father's still the high priest of his family. We're all priests. But in a certain sense, the right sense of the word, dad, the spirituality of that home is up to you. And by the way, if God set it up, God can equip you to be that. Amen? Job just didn't wake up spiritual. He was fascinated with God. It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. Wow. There you are. For a man to be like that, we're not necessarily giving credit to Job. We're going to give Job any credit. Thank God that Job knew that he needed God every hour. I need thee every hour. Thank God that this man pursued God. But it's the God he pursued that made him what he was. Hebrews 11, the great chapter on faith. Oh, wow. It talks about Abel. Talks about Noah. Talks about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They're not the heroes of Hebrews 11. God is the hero of Hebrews 11. Amen? What could they have done without God? That's just there to show you what God can do through you. Seeing we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, which does easily beset us, etc. Now look at the next part, the heavenly scene. Now you probably know this, but I need to put this in front of you. Job did not know about this event. When things started falling apart for Job, so to speak, he didn't know about this heavenly scene. He may have learned it later, I don't know. Behemoth and Leviathan are very interesting, and we'll touch on those in a few days. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. Earthly man worshiping and Satan interfering in between or taking an interest in, even like what we're doing now. Or actual angels. Either one works, and there's reasons to go both ways. I don't want to go there right now. It's not germane to what we're talking about. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Now, God knew where he was. It's just conversational. It's setting things up. It's holding him accountable. I had my mom and dad ask me sometimes, where you been? I never said, none of your business. I figured since they were paying the light bill, and anything else, but anyway. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth. Satan is not in hell. I know you know that. This is common stuff, but we got to get this in front of us. Satan is not in hell with his pitchfork. Okay? Satan is all over the place. Satan himself is primarily, according to the biblical record, working in high governmental positions, working behind the scenes. He's got his rank of demons, devils, in different places, and he's organized and he's busy. And he is the prince and power of the air. And he is interfering and doing everything he can to thwart what this church is doing. You know, I'm grateful. I'm grateful the gates of hell has not prevailed against this church. You have charged into that territory, and you are and been doing a work for God. But he's real. He's out there. He's busy. And walking up and down in it, by the way, as a roaring lion. Let me say this also. 1 Peter chapter 5 makes it clear the perfume that Satan likes. You know, there's a certain cologne that Satan likes. If it's women, it's perfume. If it's men, it's cologne, right? Men don't wear perfume. Correct? Amen. Well, good. Seven of you agree with me. All right. Can I tell you personally that perfume or that cologne stinks? You know what draws him like sharks to blood? 1 Peter 5? Pride. You would know he would be drawn to pride. That's what got him in trouble. Pride draws Satan into your life. David counting. Remember David counted the people? One passage tells you, Chronicles and Kings cover the same time. One of them says David decided to do it. He was full of pride. Another passage said Satan caused him to do it. They're both true. God allowed it to happen because David was drifting again, and God used Satan to intensify the problem, bring it to a head so he can get David back on track. And by the way, David got one of the greatest demonstrations of Mount Calvary with the angel and the sword drawn over Jerusalem. Remember the sacrifice stopped that sword? The angel put the sword back in his sheath when the sacrifice was offered up. That's where they built the temple later. And that's where Jesus Christ died on the cross later, outside the camp. So it's real. He's real, and he sees and smells pride so quick. And don't you agree pride stinks? Conceit is the weirdest of all diseases. It makes everybody sick except the person that has it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? There's none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth God, Job fear God for naught? For nothing? I mean, the guy's got it made. He gets to live in Texas. You know what Texas was back then. Edom. But anyway. Hast thou not made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side. Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And that's really what happens to most Christians. If they lose too much along the material lines, they get bitter against God. By the way, we're all prone to that. And he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath. Notice this. If you want to know what Satan's like, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth for the presence of the Lord. All right, go ahead and put that slide up, guys, that third one. You go to the second one if you want, and then the third one. All right? So we're getting ready for that scene. So what happens? Look at the assault. There was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them. And the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. By the way, if that's all that happened, that'd be pretty rough. Again, that kind of shows us probably where Edom was, these various enemies that come in, their regional powers. While he was yet speaking, there came another. Notice the rapid fire. Boom, boom, boom. I mean, he hadn't got time to recover from one. Here comes something else. The fire of God has fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away. Yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young man. And they are dead, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Job backs up, and he says, man, I got to sort this out. I got to give this some thought. No. Then Job arose. Now, again, look what God had built. Do you realize all that's happened to this guy? I mean, it's one thing if it happens and a month later something else happens, you kind of get your feet under you, then something else happens. I mean, it's just pow, 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 pow. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped his face down before God, humbled, worshiping, bowing, and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. And what did the choir sing this morning? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, listen, this is, again, we're setting up, we're going to quickly get somewhere. Even if Job had not said that, that's still true. Me saying, blessed be the name of the Lord, does not make it so. It's me realizing it's so, amen? Blessed be the name of the Lord. And all this, Job, and all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. And he didn't know about the heavenly scene. Chapter 2. Okay? And there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, from whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? And still, notice the word, and still, in spite of what happened in round one, amen, holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. Now again, we're going to get to a life-changing point in a few minutes. It's fantastic that God had built this man, but what had he built in this man? That's the key. Okay? And Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. basically, Satan says, you know, you're right. He's a pretty good man as far as that goes. But he says, let me touch him physically. Let me take away his health from him. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he's in thine hand, but save his life. Now, when God gave Satan authority to attack him the first time, did he leave a few sheep? Did Satan leave a few sheep? Did he leave a few camels? No. No, did he leave one son or one daughter? No, he let Satan, and Satan took it all. If that area right there is perfect health, where I was when I was 44 years of age, right here, at the prime of life, okay? And if that over here, I'm getting worse and worse health as I go this way, if this is actually right on the edge, I mean, if this is death over, how many think that Satan maybe brought him halfway? How many think Satan brought him three-fourths away? How many think Satan brought him right to the edge where, I mean, humanly speaking, I mean, he is tottering? All you had to do is go, amen? Let's jump ahead. He's going to have boils on the top of his head. That's serious. You can't even hide those. I was in a church preaching one time, and I stayed in the prophet's chamber, missions house, whatever you want to call it. And I have a few allergies. I had to take a little bit of a Benadryl tonight because my eyes are starting to itch and puff up. It's just, we all have our thorns in the flesh. I've got a few of them, okay? And so it makes me a little bit thick tongue. But anyway, I just took like a third of one because that's all I need usually to stop this. But I don't know what they'd use for their laundry detergent. And I slept on that pillow. I didn't know. I got up the next morning. And I don't. Y'all may not have noticed this, but I don't have a lot of hair back here. I'm sitting in church Sunday morning, getting ready to start the Sunday school. It's a Bible conference. And I won't name the church because I don't want to embarrass them. It's been a few years. And I'm sitting, a little boy taps me on the shoulder. And he said, mister? I said, yeah. He said, you got red dots all over the back of your head. And that's hard for me because, you know, I move around a lot. And when I move around and go down, I got to try and come back up here. I couldn't move around. I just had to step like this. When I went, I had to go like this when I spoke. I was hoping the choir would go down. I mean, you're sitting like this in church. I'm exaggerating, but, you know, I feel kind of self-conscious. Boils on the top of his head, all over his body, and on the sole of his feet. I've had foot issues. I've had this issue, that issue. Can you imagine? You know what that tells you? He's got an intense inward infection, and it's oozing out of his body. And I mean, this man is, this guy's probably got a fever. He's aching all over, okay? Are you getting the picture? All right? So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord, verse 7, and smote Job with sore boils. How many in here have never had a boil? Never had a boil? You, Brother Portman, you've never had a boil? My land. Wow. Young people, how many of you have never had a boil? Oh, you have not reached adulthood yet. I don't know about Brother Portman. I say, man, you haven't lived. How many have had a boil? Oh, man. Hey, they can hurt real bad. How about a whole body covered over with them? Hey, by the way, it's one thing to be sick and still look good. You know what you look like with boils all over your body? You got to go to school tomorrow. You got to go to school tomorrow. And it's Valentine's Day. And you had the Valentine's card and the candy box and the flowers, and you were going to give them to, but you can't do it now because you got boils all over you. And you've missed too much school, so your parents say you still got to go, right? Hey, this is a horrible thing, amen? I mean, you almost want to cry, you almost want to weep. And look at this picture. And he took him a piece of pottery and scraped himself. And he sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thy integrity? Curse God and die. Hey, she's been going through this. She lost her children. She lost all this property. And now she sees her husband on the verge of death. And I mean, she's spent. You say, well, she's pretty evil. Well, yeah, when we peek at chapter 3 in just a minute, Job's a little spent too. Then said his wife unto him, verse 10, but he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. He didn't say she was a fool. He didn't say she was foolish. You notice how careful he was? He didn't say, well, you are foolish, or you're being a fool. He said, honey, I'm not saying that you're a fool, but you speak like one of the foolish women. You notice that? I mean, he's still a pretty smart guy, don't you think? Hello? How many would agree? He said it right, Brother Reed, did he? He said, honey, you're not one of them, but you speak like one of the foolish women. That's what's so bad about it, because you're not that way. But okay, I'm just kidding. But anyway. What shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? And all this did Job sin with his lips. It's one thing to be having a bad day, brother. And I mean, you're dealing with all you can deal with, and you come home, and you know your wife's sitting there waiting for you, honey. And you say, honey, it's been a horrible day, or whatever. You come home, and you tell her, she says, well, it serves you right. Now what do you do? I mean, where's this guy, you know he's got nowhere to turn. The story unfolds. I mean, his servants won't come when he calls them, etc. It's amazing. And all this, Job did not say with his lips. Now when Job's three, you say it. Good, three of you said it. I agree. I mean, you know, friends. With friends like this, you don't need what? Enemies, okay? Heard of all this evil. So how did they hear about it? Facebook. Facebook. The first Facebook. You stick your face in this book, 2 Corinthians 3:18, and you will become more like Christ. 2 Corinthians 3:18. When the child of God looks in the Word of God and sees the Son of God, he's changed by the Spirit of God and the image of God for the glory of God. So Facebook, that's old stuff. Did I get their attention? Okay, but anyway. And here come his friends, Eliphaz, the Temanite, Bildad, the Shuhite, one of the shortest men in the Bible. Isn't that stupid? It is stupid, isn't it? And Zophar, the Naamathite. For they had made an appointment together to come to mourn with him and to what? They came to comfort him. They came to comfort him. Oh, man. Boy, with comforters like that, whew. You don't need iodine, but anyway. And when they lifted up their eyes afar off and knew him not, they knew where he was, they knew what the place they saw, and they go, they lifted up their voice and wept. And they ran everyone his mantle and sprinkled dust upon their heads toward heaven. So they sat down with him on the ground 7 days. They are speechless. Now, we read this, you go, well, I mean, do you really think it was 7 days? I mean, really, what's happened to Job? He's lost all of his children. He's lost all of his livestock. Now he's got boils from the head to the sole of his feet. Theoretically, he's about to die. And this is one of the greatest, godliest men who's ever lived. Do you know Ezekiel? Ezekiel cites Noah, Job, and Daniel. God says to Ezekiel, if Job and if Noah and Daniel, Noah, Job, Daniel, by the way, Daniel was alive when Ezekiel said this. That puts Daniel in pretty good company. If Noah and Job and Daniel were in Jerusalem, I still would bring judgment. That tells you something about what God thought of Job. Amen? They look at him and they go, and 7 nights and none spake a word in him, for they saw that his grief was very great. A few more verses. We're going to start making some quick applications, and then we'll blow out some birthday candles. We'll watch somebody blow out some birthday candles. 44 birthday candles. Is there a fire extinguisher? Okay. And after this opened Job his mouth and cursed. Now watch this. Look where Job is. Cursed his day, and Job spake and said, let the day perish wherein I was born, and the night in which it was said, there is a man-child conceived. Let that day be darkness. Let not God regard it from above, neither let the light shine upon it. Let darkness and the shadow of death stain it. Let a cloud dwell upon it. Let the blackness of the day terrify it. As for that night, thick darkness seize upon it. Let it not be joined into the days of the year. Let it not come to the number of the months. Lo, let that night be solitary. Let no joyful voice come from therein. Let them curse it that curse the day who are ready to raise up their mourning. Let the stars of the twilight thereof be dark. Let it look for light, but have none. Not let it be for the dawning of the day. You say, well, what? I kind of got it, but I mean, that's kind of poetical. It is, but you won't miss this. Look at the next couple of verses. Because it shut not up the doors of my mother's womb, nor hid sorrow from mine eyes. Why died I not from the womb? Why wasn't I stillborn? I wish I had died at birth. Why did I not give up the ghost when I came out of the belly? Why did the knees prevent me? Or why the breast that I should suck? For now should I have lain still and been quiet, I should have slept, and then I had been at rest. Wow. Do you see the situation? You know the story, and we just had to break it before you. Okay? Now, listen for just a few minutes. Okay? Look down at your notes. Here's where we're going. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Now, how many believe that God loved Paul the Apostle? Good. Seven. Good. Seven people are not really. I'm teasing you, folks. Just having fun with you. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. There was actually eight people. But anyway, verse 23. I'm not going to read but just a few sentences here. I want you to read this when you get home. From verse 23 to 33. Now get this. Job suffered greatly, probably about a year's time. Paul the Apostle was probably fairly close to the age of Christ, give or take a few years. When he gets saved, he does some preaching, does some witnessing. Then he goes back to Tarsus. We don't hear about from Paul for a while. Barnabas goes and gets him in the early 40s. And they start their first missionary journey. Paul ministers as a missionary, as we know him, for about 25 years. Boy, look what he did in 25 years. Amen. Wow. About 25 years, I tell some of the men out of the seminary, we get men out there in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s. Amen, brother. I tell some of the older guys come out there. The older guys, they're in a big hurry. They want to go 1 year and go turn the world upside down. The young guys are in a big hurry because, you know, I'm ready to go. You got to slow them both down. You want the guys about 30. They got patience. But anyway, 25 years. He's only about halfway through that 25 years. Are you hearing me? He's about halfway through that 25 years. He lists 40 different things that he's already suffered. And by the way, we didn't have central heating and air. My shoes didn't fit. Beat with rods. Three times beat 39 lashes with a whip. I think if we saw the Apostle Paul by this time, he would have been physically scarred. He said, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ later on in life. I think he probably had teeth knocked out, etc. You cannot believe a night and day in the deep. This man suffered greatly. Remember what God told Ananias? He's got to suffer greatly for me. What's going on here? If you scan down through here, he starts in verse number 23. And by the way, he talks about being forsaken by friends and people making him mad and betraying him and so forth. He talks about fastings often. How many do not like to go without food for 2 or 3 weeks? Well, I don't either. How about 2 or 3 hours? Okay. Are you getting what I'm saying? About 13 or 14 years into this thing, and he's already suffered this much. I don't know anybody in the Bible, even more so than Joseph, nobody suffered like the Apostle Paul. As dramatic as this is, I bring this up because the same principle applies. Quickly turn to chapter 4. Chapter 4 of Corinthians. Just flip back. Now read this passage. Look at this amazing passage. This is such an amazing passage. And by the way, I'm still just giving you the introduction. The sermon tonight's only about maybe 5 minutes long. Brother Crawford says it better be because your time's almost up. The real sermon's coming. Look at 2 Corinthians 4. Now, who wrote this? Somebody living in an ivory tower? Somebody driving a Ram pickup truck? Got it made? I have people come to me, when are you going to get your real truck? Get you a Ford? get you a Chevy. What did I tell you guys last year? I'm driving the same truck that Abraham drove when he came down from Mount Moriah. A ram. All right. Look at verse 16. Brother Reed, where are you at? Where's your son at? Not here. Let's go home. I was doing this for no care. All right. Look at verse 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, hey, Job's outward man's perishing, yet the inward man is renewed day by day, and with each passing moment, I need the every hour, moment by moment, abide with me. Abide, moment by moment, hour, day by day. And I think it was John Newton wrote, safely through another week. We need to walk in fellowship with God, amen? That's why you have your morning devotions. Verse 17. Now Paul's writing. By this time, he suffered those 40 things we read. Some of those 40 things. Look what he says in verse 17. For our light affliction. By the way, he didn't say my light affliction. Light affliction? Beaten with a whip 39 times? 3 times? I got a pretty good spankings growing up. You were a Baptist learn to dance? Well, their dad helps them out with a tree branch or... When my dad was growing up, those narrow belts were in style. No air resistance. Man alive. Wow. My dad, when he got older, I was telling him stories. I think you're exaggerating a little bit. I said, you have a short memory. But anyway, gosh, you didn't come home for supper. You got it. You know what I'm saying? I was 5 minutes late. But anyway, our light affliction, which is but for what? Here it comes. We're creeping up on this great truth. Which is but for what? A moment. Listen, folks, you're going to have to get really spiritual for just a few moments. Really spiritual. Look at this. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us. Worketh for us. Our light affliction worketh for us. The afflictions are not against us. They work for us. Who's speaking? Some Jim Dandy? No, Paul. And he worked for us a weight of glory. No, sorry. Eternal weight of glory. No, I'm sorry. Exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Oh, I left something out. More exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Oh, I left something out. Worketh for us a far more exceeding. Far more exceeding. Stop. 4,000 years ago, Job suffered. He's still getting rewards for what he went through. We're adding to his rewards tonight. Blessed are the dead that die in the Lord, Revelation 14:13, and their works do follow them. Amen? Billy Sunday came to Hutchinson. I've told you the story. He came to Hutchinson in the 1930s. My pastor's parents got saved. He was still in the mind of God. A few years later, he comes along, the only child they had. God calls him to preach. He goes to prepare. He comes back to Hutchinson, Kansas. I get saved under his ministry. I get discipled. I get baptized, called to preach. Billy Suddy's getting fruitful in what I'm doing tonight. You know, if I was wanting to make my life count, I'd get involved in the Lord's work. Amen? Amen? Amen. Worketh for us a far more and exceeding eternal weight of glory. If you suffer 50 pounds of suffering, God says you will have more than 50 pounds of reward. That's the picture. It's like a scale. All your sufferings. Look at all this stuff that Job went through. By the way, Job got paid back even this life. Look at Paul, the Apostle Paul. Can you see Paul in heaven? Man, what do you mean I got to clean my room? No, I don't even mean that. I still don't get it. I listened to all those things in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 40-some things. And I mean, you know what? God just kept piling on me. Yeah, it's been 2,000 years, but it still bothered me. How many think this is what Paul's doing? How many think this is what he's doing? You know what Paul's doing in heaven? Glory to God! Amen? The Apostle Paul, if they know him in heaven, I don't know, but he knows in general, he heard about that couple you've been supporting in Papua New Guinea. Amen? By the way, this church is doing New Testament missions. Read Acts 13 and Acts 14. You're doing exactly the way the Bible said to do it. Just thought you'd want to know that. But anyway, look at the next verse. While we look not at the things which are what? He didn't say, well, I look at the things. He didn't say these Corinthians. Now, Corinthians, listen to me, guys. This is important. I'm about done. Corinthians, I'm an apostle. And I've traveled a lot of places. And I don't expect you to ever think like I think. So let me just tell you, while I look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen, no. And by the way, this church at Corinth wasn't the most spiritual church even yet. He says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are eternal. Wow. Okay. The things which are temporal, but the things which are eternal, the unseen things. By the way, the next verse says, for we know that, our future home. All right, flip over to Philippians for just a minute. You like that? Flip over to Philippians. Roam over to Romans. Flip over to Philippians, chapter 3. I haven't got time to tell jokes, so I've got to be kind of stupid funny. Merry heart doeth good like a medicine, amen? Hello? Merry heart doeth good like a medicine, right? Brother Crawford said, this guy hadn't changed a bit. All right, look at Philippians chapter 3. Look at verses 7 through 11 real quick. Now watch carefully what he says. Same guy, Paul. Are you there? Philippians 3, 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Paul. excuse me. For Christ. He had gotten to the point, he got to the point where Paul didn't matter. Yeah. Christ mattered. Wouldn't it be something if some young people got to that point? Some Daniels and some Danielles. Those are female Daniels. Do we have any Danielles, by the way, at school? That's kind of a popular name in churches. Yea, Dallas, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. What did you just hear sung a few minutes ago? Christ is the explanation. He's the hope. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them. Pretty good stuff, but I was willing to give it up for the Lord. I had a big, huge house, had a Maserati, a Lamborghini, and even had a Mini Cooper. I got to live in Texas. Hassle it. But I gave it up. You know what he says? I've suffered the loss of all things. I don't know. But at his age, at around 30, and being in the midst of the Sanhedrin, possibly a member of the Sanhedrin, you typically had to be married. It's possible that Paul may have been married. And in that culture, if your wife didn't come along and your family, you were dead. He says, I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung. Does everybody know what dung is? It's like that stinky perfume I was talking about a while ago. Right? He's not just being angry and popping off. He's writing scripture. Brethren, let me just jump ahead real quick. If you drop dead right now, or if the rapture happened, you were in heaven, the most prized possession you have right now, you would go, man, that was trash. Yeah. I love it when Joseph told his brothers, just leave your stuff behind. Are you getting me? It's a picture of going to heaven, by the way. Leave your stuff behind. Don't bring that stuff to Egypt. I'm going to take care of you in Goshen. He's in the right hand of Pharaoh. He's the bread of life. It's a picture of us going to heaven. Leave it behind us. Leave the stuff behind. Just leave it. I got all kinds of stuff for you. Amen. Hey, it's good to enjoy things. Amen. Thank God for good things. But folks, we really can't give up anything because we don't own anything. Yeah. Keep reading. Is this clock right? Yea, it's right. Yea, Dallas, I count all things but lost for the excellence of knowledge. Look at verse 9. I want to win Christ and be found in him. Number one, not having my own righteousness of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. The faith of Christ has his loyalty. The law keeping, don't play with the translation. That's faith of Christ. If you're faithful to your wife, you're loyal. He's faithful to righteousness. He lived out a life in place of ours. I'm going on his righteousness. Verse 9, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness. Look at verse 10, that I may know him, number one. I mean, Paul didn't know the Lord. No, he wanted to know him better. You know why I married Lita Jane Hughes? It's a big secret. I'm going to reveal it tonight. I wanted to know her better. And boy, do I know her now. But anyway, then I may know him. And I'm still married to her, happily, ever after. And the power of his resurrection, now look at this, and the fellowship of his sufferings. He didn't say, I want to suffer with him. But he said, I tell you what, when I'm going through sufferings, I sure enjoy that fellowship. You have the right mindset. You have the right mindset, and that's how you think. Now, let me pull all this together. Look down at the bottom. Let me say real quick in closing. How many of us have been helped by the book of Job through life? Okay, good. Eight people again. Thank you. Well, you got to look across the auditorium. There's probably 18, okay? Somebody said, Tozer quotes it, but it wasn't Tozer that said it. All God's acts are done in perfect wisdom, first for his own glory, then for the highest good of the greatest number for the longest period of time. We are so much better off spiritually because of Job. It's been such a help. Now look at this next statement. Brethren, let me put this out. Just put this out here and we'll be done. You've got to embrace eternity. You've got to learn to do that. The sooner the better. Don't wait till you graduate from high school. Almost too late. No, I'm just kidding. You've got to learn to embrace eternity. What's embrace? I'm not going to embrace you, brother, so don't worry, okay? Is this embrace? Well, sure, it's good to see you. Is that embrace? No. You have got to embrace eternity. Listen to me. God knows this. Folks, this is not it. This isn't it. We're in an airplane terminal. Are you hearing me? We lost it in the Garden of Eden. We lost it. When Adam took that fruit and ate it, we lost it. You say, what about Eve? She was deceived. You got your sin nature from Adam. I've told you, your mother wouldn't do that to you. Right? Listen, folks, I'm not even being trying to be hyped. We lost it. All the heartache and turmoil this world's known, all the turmoil and heartache started in the Garden of Eden when he ate that fruit. Amen? We got it back in Jesus Christ. But because we're oblivious to obvious, you see, would you explain the obvious? You got to come back later this week. We're not benefiting. Oh, we're benefiting some, but remember, I'm glad you're writing some checks. If you weren't writing some checks, you wouldn't be here tonight. But why are you writing checks for $100? Brother Clark, how about $1,000? No. Why are you writing checks for $100? You have billions in the bank, amen? You have billions. And you're writing $100 checks? Big spender. Amen? Now listen to this statement. Here it is. Look at the very end here. I'm going to say it two different ways. One of them is written down. Listen for just a second. God is working your life right now in view of eternity. Did Job make a difference in eternity? Did Job make a difference in eternity? Did he do it in ways many haven't? God is working your life in view of eternity, in view of the totality of the sphere of your sphere of influence. Michael Wiggins is involved in enough people's lives right now and has been for quite some time that when Michael Wiggins is walking with God and in fellowship with God and doing what God wants him to do, there are a lot of people benefiting from him. Amen? Michael's not an island. Brother Wiggins is not an island. A lot of people are benefiting from him. A lot of people. Who knows how many? But you know what? If Michael dropped dead tonight, God forbid, his testimony is going to live on. God is not working in Brother Wiggins' life tonight just for the moment. God's got eternity. 1,000 years from now, it's going to matter what this church did. Ephesians, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages. 1,000,000 years from now in heaven, it's going to matter what was happening in this church tonight. You say, boy, you're excited. You're right. Man, have you seen the Texas Rangers lineup this year? Woo! What's that going to matter? Why should they be more excited than me? Thirdly, you know what God did? God opened up Job with a bigger tank. We talked about this last year. God gave, I had a 32-gallon tank in my, Brother Reed, that tradesman truck had a 32-gallon tank. 32-gallon tank. I like the truck I got now. The Lord worked out wonderfully. Somebody smacked in the back of our truck. I got $5,500 more than what I owed on it. So I get this truck, put that down, got it for almost what I would have got a tradesman for. But it's only got a 26-gallon tank. Now, my wife's much tank's only got like a 14-gallon tank. But that 26-gallon tank's not as big as that 32. God is giving you a larger capacity for grace. The people that sing tonight, you can tell they believe what they sing. I believe they sang tonight with more emotion and feeling and understanding than they did 10 years ago. God wants, in the Old Testament, it was enlarging your steps. David talks about your steps being enlarged. Wish I had time to develop that. I'll leave that to your pastor. Paul talks about your heart being enlarged. The outward and physical of the Old Testament picture the inward and spiritual of the New Testament, the eternal. Look at the very bottom statement. Look at the very bottom. At any given moment, closing thought, I'm going to pick up with this thought tomorrow night because I got one more statement to make and an illustration, but I'm going to save it to open it up tomorrow night. At any given moment, right now, God brings all of eternity into view and His involvement in your life. See, God is able to take everything that's going on all at once right now, everything that's already happened, and everything that's going to happen, and He can work in view of all that right now at this very moment in your life. That's got to sink in. I'm going to elaborate on that tomorrow night when we start out. Everything that's going on in the past, everything that's going on now, He makes all things work together for good to them that love God. Everything that's ever... Billy Sunday is still getting reward for what I'm doing right now. When you look at Job against the backdrop of eternity, you look at Paul against the backdrop of eternity, man, you got to be fascinated with God. Amen? Let's stand as your pastor comes.
Amen. Hymn 153, I Surrender All. Think about Paul and all that he went through. And there in Acts he said, and none of these things move me. Imagine that. None of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear. I mean, God had brought Paul to a special place, hadn't he? And God uses those things to bring us along, to grow us, to enlarge our hearts, to enlarge us. We think about Job being a prepared vessel. What a message tonight. What an encouraging message tonight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, would you bless this time? And Lord, as you've talked with us and you've touched our hearts, may we yield to what you're asking us to do. And Lord, we thank you that you have blessed us in such a great way and enlarged our hearts. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hymn 153.